Welcome, everybody. It is episode four, season four of
Take Two.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode 133, season four of the PMP Weekly. And we clearly just can't get the introductions to work. That's okay. So it doesn't matter. Now, it is 6th of September, and we are back with the new season starting today, and of course going through the autumn for sure. Now, Waldex, what's up with you? Anything interesting happening in summer?
You mean today, this week? Anything happened last month?
Summer.
So summer is still on. This week we're gonna have tomorrow, I think, and the day after we're gonna have 26, 27 plus.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So summer isn't over yet.
Wow. But you had a few weeks off as well, right?
Yeah, correct. So I took 3 weeks off, and I had really big plans to do things, fiddle with tech, and try things out, and I didn't do any of that. I didn't open the laptop for the whole 3 weeks. I didn't come anywhere near anything tech, anything work. I was on Twitter a little, but that's about it. Yeah. And you? I think you had some time off too.
Yeah, I think I had 2 weeks and then 3 weeks off. So there's some, let's say, vacations which I didn't use a year ago or whatever. So pending stuff which needed to get spent. So that's good. That was actually good to have 2 weeks off and then 1 week and then 3 weeks. So you could actually come in, clean up stuff, and then catch up on all of what's happening and then going back for a vacation. So that was good. So. The biggest downside of it was actually, at least for me, is that I had a pretty bad accident on my skates. So I'm still recovering from that. So it says, well, actually, it's now all should be all done, but I still haven't had a chance to go to skates because I don't want to crash again. So it's I'm waiting for the final
things. Yeah, it's like anxiety kicking in. Like, do yes. I dare? Do I dare?
Exactly. So let's see when I'm planning to do that actually this week. So during the summer, I've done like marathons in inline skates. Those who do not know, that's my kind of a practice. So what I do for movement with sticks, so kind of a Nordic inline skating. So
right. Right. I mean, all I do is typing. So that's about the amount of stuff I move. So
yes. Yeah, I had a pretty big crash. I think the GPS was saying that I was going downhill at 40 kilometers in an hour. And
wow,
then
that's harsh.
Yeah, I guess I broke my tailbone and all of that. So it's been pretty painful for a few weeks.
And I reckon like you don't wear a full suit or anything, right? So you just like in your sport pants and you're like, oh,
exactly.
That's so.
But yeah, like you know, and then what happened actually, it's kind of a funny story, but you know, like men, when something gets hurt, at least in my case, it's always, no, it's not badly hurt. Then I skate back home from the crash location. And then I realized
that your arm like hangs, exactly. Like you can't exactly. Move it, but
it's not too bad, it's not too bad. No, it's going to, it's only a flesh wound, it's not too bad. And now it's 6 weeks from the accident, and I haven't skated since because of the.
And it's still nothing serious. Just broken. Hope.
Well, there's nothing you can do about your broken tailbone either. So there's just nothing. There's just no way for. Just you need
pay
to wait
more
for
attention
it,
so. The next time.
Exactly. So anyway, so chatting here. But now we're moving into this is the season four, and we're moving into a new model where we're gonna actually split the discussions and the articles in a much more structural way. Flip and slip at the articles in a more structural way. But this time today, we have a Gautam Seth from Valo. I think they changed the name. It's no longer Valo Intranet. Now it's Valo because they're just don't do just the intranet, they do a lot of other stuff as well. But Gautam is I think she's the newest Office Developer MVP. So on the which is actually it's still kind of almost awkward. Why is it called an Office Developer MVP? Because it's not that she's doing Office extensibility. So why isn't it inclusive enough of Microsoft 365 developer MVPs? But hey, so I don't know. Leftover historical things. I think
yeah.
So all of that
maybe
is getting
it will change. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah, but he is now joining us on today, and let's jump on a discussion and interview with Gautam, and then we'll do the articles after that. So let's go and let's get moving. So welcome, Gautam, to this show, PMP Weekly. You are the first visitor in the season four. So we were just calculating this earlier today with Waldeck, that this is fourth year that we're doing this.
Yes, correct.
Pretty cool. Now, Gautam, you're also the newest MVP on the Office Developer category. So let's talk about that one and your, let's say, career path and transition. But can you do a quick intro who you are?
Okay, thank you for having me, first of all. I'm Gautam Sheth, and my career primarily began around 10 years ago, starting with SharePoint 2010, and then moved on to SharePoint 2013, and then jumped directly to SharePoint Online, thankfully. So no SharePoint 2016 or 19 or that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, it has been an interesting journey from there. So like 2010 and 2013 were like full on-prem kind of full trust solution development, and also involved a lot of old school stuff like content query, web part, data view, web part, XSL, and user controls, master pages, page layouts. Of course, working on the admin side of the things as well a bit. So something around the search and user profile and those kind of stuff. So yeah, it has been a quite interesting journey. So yeah.
And you also been transitioning between the countries. So and so being that going through this kind of a nice the cultural change as well. Can you talk about that one a bit before we go back on your historical experience?
Okay. So yeah, I moved to Finland this year, sometime in March. So yeah, it has been an interesting development for me personally, and also a lot of cultural differences. So one of the most important things that I find here is the amount of silence that is there. So it's like so quiet. You can actually hear the clocks.
So productive. People are so productive. Like.
Yeah, of course, it is quite cold. I landed in March, and in India, around that time where I live, it's around 35 to 40 degrees somewhere between. Yeah. And here it was around 0 degrees and that kind of stuff. So it was like so cold. And the sea, I roamed around the riverfront and not the seafront and all. Sea was frozen. Like, wow, I've never seen that happen ever. So yeah, that's a lot of change here. So climate and the people are amazing. They have been very, very helpful to me. And yeah, so yeah.
Another area I can imagine that's different is food.
Oh man. Okay. Okay. Here, the Finnish definition of something in food would be like salt and pepper, but in India you have like a whole rainbow of spices and all that. So I absolutely find the food here so bland, but in India it is like wow, it's like a variety of it's a lot of change here. But yeah, you get a lot of stuff in the Indian markets and Indian stores, so it's fine. So yeah.
And so I don't know anything about food in Finland, but is there also like a big Indian cuisine important in Finland, or is it like no, it's more traditional Finnish food, and then if you want to have Indian foods and spices, like you need to go to a grocery store for particularly that area?
Yeah. So we need it. Usually you don't find Indian spices and some stuff in the general supermarket, so you need to go to a special store for that. So yeah.
But there are Indian restaurants as well, right?
Oh yeah. And I'm a vegetarian, so I was a bit worried about how it will happen. But yeah, it has been quite pleasantly surprising. So you get, even if you go to a restaurant, you get a lot of options for vegetarians as well. So you can have a vegan or vegetarian food, and of course you have the normal food that you have. So yeah, it has been quite good. Yeah, but you have to tell them that make it as spicy as possible, then they'll make it. So
it's like there is zero, then there are 10. It's like, okay, you can go beyond the 10. You can go on to 12. You know, so now I can taste it at least.
So how did you, now let's wind back slightly. So how did you end up actually moving in Finland? What was the situation, or what enabled you, or what was the, why did you move to Finland?
So yeah, I got a job offer with Valo, so that's how it happened. So Valo gave me the job offer, and I decided to like, why not, let's give it a try, move out of your comfort zone, live abroad and experience a different kind of life or whatever it is you can call it. But yeah, it's how it happened. So yeah, I had a very interesting conversation with Sebastian in Las Vegas, so where I actually met you for the first time, Vesa. So yeah, we hit off and that's how it started. So then it, yeah, we had the interview process and then the visa and that kind of stuff. And so what happened is I started working with Valo last year, but then I was supposed to move and we had flight tickets and accommodations and all kind of stuff booked, but then everything stopped. So yeah, it had to be like postponed by a year or so. And so yeah.
But you were still able to come in the middle of pandemic and the COVID in March this year. So it you completely didn't, well, at least the situation is getting better, right?
Yeah, it's getting a lot better. Yeah.
So, and I have to ask related on the move. You said that you're moving in March. March is still pretty cold, like you said, in Finland. How was the summer? So summer was pretty warm this year.
Summer was quite good. But yeah, I have to like, the summer is here is like 30 degrees and that's like March, February weather in India. So, the very surprising part for me was like, I don't have fans or air conditioning and all that. So I have to actually go to the office, which actually makes me more productive because everyone else is like on vacation or in a cabin somewhere or that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, it's a bit getting used to the weather here. So yeah.
Well, but I mean, the Finnish summer, 30 degrees plus, like why would you need an aircon, right?
Well, 30 is a pretty, so.
No,
well, that's coming from India. I was like, that's kind of mild day, you know?
Yeah, the sun actually hits you on the skin because of the slanting of the rays and that kind of stuff. So it's a lot more harsh here, sun rays. So that's why,
And how did you feel? I have to ask this as well. So how did you feel about the sun not going down that much? So was that a surprise?
Yeah, I have to wear like the eye patch.
What's
and
wrong
that
with
kind...
that?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to get adjusted to the daylight savings as well. Like one day I wake up and then like, okay, something is a bit odd here, like the hours change or something. And yeah, but yeah, it's like 11 o'clock and the sun still doesn't go down. And even now it's around like what, this is like September, even here now it is like 8 o'clock and even then the sun is still up and that's so that's a bit weird. So you have to like adjust your sleep patterns and the sun rises at around 4 o'clock and like, wow, okay, that's, but yeah, you have the dark curtains and all that. So
You have proper curtains and all of that in your, you have to get the proper curtains to block everything out because otherwise, it doesn't just work. Now let's go slightly back into history. So how did you, first of all, ended up, you mentioned that you had a discussion with Sebastian Levert, but you've been also active on the community already many, many years ago, and you've been contributing on a GitHub, you've been contributing open source. Did any of that kind of help on those discussions or was it beneficial? Kind of a leading question though.
It absolutely helps. helps with your profile. I started like contributing around 4-5 years ago. So it was mainly around the PNP site score library, which is now deprecated to the PNP framework and now in place. So yeah, that's how it started, primarily starting with the bug fixes and that kind of stuff. And yeah, it does help you a lot. And it's quite fulfilling to me personally and professionally as well. So
What was your original thought around? Because I mean, like, just the fact that there is something in the open, you can be like, well, I can do it better, and then build your own, as opposed to, you know what, I'm gonna help here.
That is a really good question. What made you help on that project rather than building a competing one? Because that happens a lot as well.
So at my previous employer, Rabbit Circle, we had an in-house product which was like similar to the PNP provisioning engine. But it had its own schemas and that kind of stuff. And there were some parts missing. And I had to look into the PNP site score source code. And like we were consuming the libraries and all that in the code, like mostly the extension methods, but not the provisioning engine as such. But the extension methods were missing some stuff. Like, why don't I add it there? I asked my boss and he was like, fine, go ahead, add it. And that's how it started. So I didn't even realize that it might end up helping somebody else, but that's how it started. So
cool.
And that's always a great tip when the company is actually accepting people to help on the open source projects, because then we can truly benefit from the work what others do as well. So, and of course, many of these open source projects, is it a CLI for Microsoft 365 or BMP PowerShell or anything, it's not really on the core of the business. It's just enabling things, right? So the individual company specific IP is still separate. So. Now, then you are also a newly appointed MVP. When did this happen?
Last week.
I know, but exactly.
I was not expecting it, frankly, because I had a chat with the MVP community lead here in the Nordics, Tina Larsen, and she told me that we had a call a bit earlier, and she told me that, I saw your profile. I'll send it to the product group for feedback, and we'll catch up in like early September. I was like, okay, let's wait for September, and then I was in a call with in the PNP call that that we had on I think on the first only. So I was like, once the call ended, I opened up my email and like, wow, okay, this is happening.
It's a prank. It's a prank. Yeah, it's phishing. Prank. It's not real. And then it's like, oh yes, it is real.
Oh, yeah. It is real. But you've been also contributing for years, like I said, on the different libraries. And if you go to your GitHub profile, you can actually see that you've been really helping others, and you've been active also on the BMP PowerShell and the framework work. Can you talk about that a bit, and the work what you do together with Bert Jansen and Irvin related on that?
So mean work that I do is primarily take up some of the issues that are there posted by some users in the PNP PowerShell or PNP framework and try to fix those issues, reproduce those issues and try to fix them. And that's how it happened. Like Irvin asked me earlier in the year that would you like to join me as a maintainer on the PNP PowerShell team along with Veronique and Kun. So I said, why not make stuff easier? At least my pull request will get accepted faster, because I sometimes get frustrated, like, is he not accepting the pull request? And of course, at Valo, we use both of these, PNP framework, PNP PowerShell, and of course, the PNP SPFX repositories as well. So I contribute there as well. So it makes sense absolutely to contribute to them. So,
I mean, we need to do this.
Oh, yeah. Raise
my hand.
Okay. You're first.
Was becoming an MVP ever your, call it ambition or goal? Or was it like, it's like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Otherwise, I'm just going to have fun doing my thing.
I'm going to have fun doing my thing. So I was nominated twice, like last year and the year before that, and I didn't get any response. I was like, first time I was really, really excited, like, wow, I got nominated. Something might happen. Nothing happened. And I was like, okay, what should I call it? Stop my work in the community and all that. Then Simon nominated me again last year. And again, I was like, okay, let's go ahead, give it a try. Again, no response. And then third time he nominated, I told him, this is the last time you're going to nominate me. I'm not going to, it doesn't matter whether it happens. But luckily it happened. So
So, and of course, being an MVP, you get access on NDA discussions and NDA on the information as well. And you get invited on certain things, which is beneficial for your employee as well. So in the case of Valo, of course, there's already like 10 MVPs or whatever in the company, but it's interesting. But it's highly beneficial for the companies to have people because who are MVPs, so you get access on the new information. Now, related on your not MVP, I can see your hand up. I had the hand first, so
I can see your hands up. I will not let you down.
So, what do you actually do then within Valo? So, what is your kind of a day job? What do you do for a living?
Same stuff that I do as a hobby, like PNP PowerShell, PNP framework, SPFX control. So working on developing solutions, mainly I work on the Valo internet team. So we build internet for our customers and partners. So that's what I do for a living. Yeah. So I've been doing that for like past couple of years. At Rapid Circle, I used to work as a consultant, and we also used to build intranet as a consultant for our customers. And here I'm building it as a product for our customers. So it's interesting. Yeah,
it's a bit different route and all of that now, and that's obviously SPFX SharePoint framework. Are you seeing a demand for the Viva connection side of the house, and are you having a discussion related on that?
Yeah, internally we are having some discussions, but nothing concrete as such. We love SPFX, so, and SPFX is, I mean, we can do extend Viva via SPFX on all that kind of stuff. So that's, yeah, we are quite looking forward to that. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, Teams and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite interesting. So Teams as a platform, Viva as a platform. Yeah, it's, but yeah, you have to get a bit used to it.
there will be more. Yeah, so of course, whenever we are shipping the Viva publicly, the actual end user experience, then people will realize that more, what it actually means and all of that. So more on that later, I think even this month, we'll see, unless it's delayed. So that's all good. Waldeck, I'm going to throw it back to you. You had your hand up, so
yeah,
now it's no longer out.
No, so. Yeah, because I was like, yeah, Vesa is going to talk like the next hour, so okay. So actually, I wanted to ask
love
things
to
because,
actually, but yes.
Because there's a thing I wanted to ask, and then there's another interesting angle I wanted to add. So you got your MVP email on September 1. You became an MVP, right? What has changed?
Nothing.
Nothing
as such. Yeah, it's just, to be fair, I've not explored some stuff. Yeah, but I got access to LinkedIn Premium, so that means I can see who views my profile. So yeah. Just kidding. But yeah, I've seen some discussions on Teams and that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm actually
going to have some kind of an introduction session tomorrow with my community lead. So probably I'll get to understand a bit more about this program and all that. So yeah.
Cool. And then another thing I wanted to ask, because I went kind of through exactly the same steps. You've been on Outland in projects, and now you're working on a product. How is that? How do you experience the difference?
Product lifecycle is quite, I mean, we have like a defined specifications that we have to do, and that we try to achieve that. But in consultant, it's more like whatever the customer wants, we try to build them and try to help them get stuff faster as possible. But in product, we have to have like a specific set of, user stories that we call it, and that needs to be implemented before we release that product. So yeah, before we release a version of the product, so be fair. Yeah.
And also, do you see any, I don't know, difference in regards to like when you work with customers, you're demand driven by them, right? So in other words, like they tell you what they need and you build it. Whereas with a product, you can build whenever you like. And there's also this kind of like, how do you stay connected to what customers need? How do you keep track of what they need, what they do, and how you like, what are the different niches that your product could fill?
Yeah, so mainly a lot of stuff is also telemetry. So we read some telemetry data from the customers and that we have, and based on that, we try to improve the product. Besides that, we have a lot of discussions with the, not me, but the product owners or the product managers, and they have discussions with the customers or the partners, and they try to find out a lot of requirements and try to form like a common one that can satisfy a lot of these customers or partners, and then try to add that to a user story and the specifications, and that's how we build the products. Yeah.
Cool.
Makes perfect sense. Now, Gautam, you actually shared us an article earlier today. We can let's briefly have a look on this one, and then get back on the discussion. So we get this one covered. So you talked about the BMP PowerShell take control of your service principal permissions. Can you talk about in brief what is this article all about? This one is released today as well.
So. Yep. So what happened is like earlier this year, CSOM for .NET, earlier this year or probably last year, CSOM .NET standard was released. So we implemented that in the PNP framework and the PNP PowerShell. And one of the major breaking changes was that they got rid of the username password authentication to SharePoint Online. So we needed to have some sort of Azure AD app to be present in the tenant, so using which we can access the data that we want. So PNP PowerShell, the PNP management shell Azure AD app requires like a lot of permissions. I guess it's the same one that is used in the CLI for Microsoft 365. So both of them require like around 20 plus permissions, and some of them are like quite heavy duty, around like group read write all and that kind of stuff. So a lot of customers are a bit hesitant to give those level of permissions, even though all of them are like designated delegated permissions, but still they're a bit hesitant. So
Gautam, can you explain what's the delegated permission versus application permission in that context?
So delegated permissions would be like the app will act on behalf of the current user that is making the service call to the tenant, whereas in application permission, the app permissions itself will be used instead of the user context there. So
And really quick, I just want to briefly call it out. For example, the users read all doesn't mean that the application, when it's being used by the user, will have access on all of the users. That's not what it means, because we're using it's a combination of the user's permission and the application permission, not just all what's available.
So there. I think easier way to explain it is based on size, right? So with delegated access, the app will have access to the size that the current user has access to. But app only means the app has access to all sites, no matter whether the user has access or not, because it's app only. So there is no user in that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Sorry. Sidetrack, because just a
commercial break.
No worries. So we ran into with the customer's IT, and they're like, what does your script do? And we are like, the script does like simple SharePoint kind of stuff. So then why do you require like Teams create or group create or those kind of permissions? And like, okay, fair point. Though this is not we requiring, this is PNP request, but then why do you use PNP? And then like, okay, let's meet in the middle. And then we decided to like scope the permissions that we only require and try to use that. So
And basically in this blog post, we're seeing a setup where we are only requesting the needed set of permissions rather than the full set, the default set of everything. But it is actually, so all of this permission model is still clear. We're seeing this with the partner interviews all the time with Waldeck, and other ones are saying as well that customers are so lost related on understanding the models. So this is really good blog post, by the way, explaining how you can reduce the set of questions, and then you can basically target only with those permissions which you are going to use from a PowerShell perspective. So it makes perfect sense.
But that also means that you need to know what you need.
Yeah.
So you need to do the research, knowing exactly which permissions, which APIs you're going to call, or which operations you want to do, which APIs they call, and which permissions are needed for these APIs. So it requires some more upfront work, as opposed to say, you know what, I want to have catch all everything. And in a way, it's interesting that there is no way to say, you know what, for the 10 minutes, I want to have full access to your tenant.
And then expire. Absolutely. That should be actually, that's actually really cool. I would like to have a time limited access to your tenant approved by your administrator just for the execution of the script and got rid of it. So,
or just this one time token.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
The same way we have the one time password on files, I believe, in 365.
Yeah.
Or or is it in the personal OneDrive? Like there is this one time code you can access. Yeah.
It's in a personal OneDrive.
The same thing. Like,
exactly.
You put this code in your script, you run it, and it will work only once. You break it, you need another code.
That's actually a really good
idea. So basically,
idea.
Each time you need a code, you need to buy your admin a coffee.
You should be employed by Microsoft to fix this. No, wait. Yeah. So
this is so like the old on-prem days where we had like the happy hour where the admins could like do whatever they want in that.
Exactly.
The more things change, the more they remain the same. But that is true.
I'm going to stop sharing, but really good. So this is awesome blog post. We're going to mention obviously that in the notes as well. Now, as we are closing, running out of time as well, and I don't have a hard stop, but still, I guess we can few questions related on the cultural differences. You mentioned already weather, food.
People are quiet.
People are quiet. Wasn't that people are quiet. It was the world is quiet.
People are quiet as well. So
people are quiet. That was the
unless you get them some drinks and then they are like, wow, okay, Sparta.
So there's like two sides to Finns.
any other good cultural, let's say, references and differences which are like, wow, what are you doing? So
very, very fit like health workout culture. So I see a lot of people working out a lot, and then a lot of people reading books. So I visited the Audi library there. It's stunning library that has been built. So yeah, Waldeck, if you're ever in Helsinki, yeah, you should visit that. Yeah.
Yeah, the central library in the downtown. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, so people do read a lot. Even we have, like, inside Valo, we have book clubs and that, not books. I mean, we discuss books and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Pretty cool. Cool. Now, from a timing perspective, I think we're about to close. So, just out of curiosity, Kautam, any interesting what you're working on right now, which you can talk about with us? Anything what's on your table? You don't have to spill in any beans or explain any secrets. But what are you working right now?
I was working last week on we had like a internal fix hack learn kind of week. So I decided to go like on the Teams developer platform side of the house and tried out Teams extension, adaptive cards and that kind of stuff. So it was quite interesting. So yeah.
What was your feeling about that?
Yeah, Microsoft documentation needs to be updated a lot, so I might be sending some fear. So, yeah. But yeah, the technology behind that is pretty cool. So you can basically point out to a SharePoint framework web part. A Teams extension can work as a SharePoint framework kind of stuff. So you can just practically load any SharePoint framework web part inside Teams and that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
As an extension, so yeah, and from a lot of places like command box, search box, and even from the individual teams or even one-to-one or group chats and that kind of stuff. So yeah, which was quite really interesting.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool. I think that sums up this one. So we will move back on the discussion with me and Waldeck. So thank you, Gautam, for joining us. Really good discussion, and congratulations on the MVP. It is now day number 5th with MVP status or something like that, isn't it?
Things yeah. Might still so, happen,
right? So. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the discussion. Good to understand the transition and the differences that you've seen here as well. So, and thank you for being part of the community and contributing. Super cool.
Thank you for having me. It has been a pleasure. Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Thanks, Gautam. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
So cool. Let's come back on the articles and discussions. So that was Gautam again from the Valo Intranet. I will put the connections and all of that the references in the blog post. But let's jump into the latest articles. And since we've been on a break for a few months, we didn't want to actually cover all of the new news in the 2 months.
Yeah.
So we took a selected group of articles for this discussion. And let's see what we're going to then cover next week. I think we can go slightly more broadly. But let me share my screen. So let's jump in here. And pretty recently last week Tuesday actually, there's two new articles related on what's happening on the Microsoft 365 as a whole. So what's new in the Microsoft Teams, the August 2021 edition from last Tuesday. And probably the one of the coolest thing is for sure is the presenter mode. I think this will provide a lot of clarity for the presenters. Yes, as we're presenting. Hey. But you don't have to do any other video tricks anymore. You can just set those settings directly in the Teams, and that's actually really cool. So you can kind of make it more professional looking for sure. What's other news here? So there's a lot of announcements and new stuff happening, of course, during the summer. So there has been people taking off in Redmond as well, but there's still things are moving, and we're releasing new features as well. Devices, new stuff in there, new certified devices. It's good to see additional video devices and other devices happening. The Together Mode extensibility is now a GA, which is really cool. We're seeing a lot of excitement related on the Muppet Show thing. I think people are sharing those already in Twitter. We can't actually, to be honest, some people have been asking that, hey, can we use that in a community call? But we can't because of the copyright reasons. So there might be, Disney is pretty, let's say, rough on those things. So,
do they own the brand, the Muppets brand?
Yeah, I think Disney owned it, unless I'm completely mistaken. So okay. I think, yeah, I will need to double check that. That's my understanding. So it was sold for them at some point. So, Teams for Education, a lot of stuff. Obviously, this is getting ready for autumn because in areas of the world, some people are still working remotely. And even though you wouldn't be working or studying remotely, all of this is really, really cool. And getting ready for the new season or new, what's it called in English? The new
school year, season,
semester. And semester was the thing what I was looking for. So, see. And a lot of other stuff on the governmental side, a lot of other stuff and capabilities here as well. Settings, things are a lot of new functionalities available across the board. The same actually applies for SharePoint. Oh, that's a familiar face. So I had a chat to you, what was it, a week ago with Mark, so related on the SharePoint framework and SharePoint store announcements. So as part of the summer announcements and summer things, we actually released a new version of the SharePoint store. So there's a lot of investments on that side. And we talked about the time when I was still presenting when we executed the master certification program and I was an instructor there. So
with the store, is it only a change of UX or are there new features available in there too?
So for the SharePoint framework, it's right now just a modernization of the UX, but there's a lot of stuff happening there. So there's in the following steps, there will be additional things. So we're looking into doing, for example, end user acquire solutions. So if a solution type doesn't require a Graph API permissions or doesn't access confidential information, accesses external data, then it can be acquired by the end user directly from the store, rather than currently SharePoint framework solutions always require that it's actually approved by the administrator or acquired by the administrator. So end user can request, but they can't acquire that. And the reason for that one is that by default, SPFX solutions are running in the same HTML context or the base context, which means that they get access on all of the information what the user has. So now we're looking into introducing additional layers of security and access and all of that in the future. So
cool.
We also talked about in the announcement that we're working on the SPFX solutions natively in Team Store and all of the implications in there. So because SPFX is being widely used for the Teams extensibility as well. So building that stuff. So,
Any ETA around that? When can we expect to have SPFX solutions in Teams?
Without any explicit commitments by end of this calendar year. So that should be fine. So that's the plan. Now, will it happen? We'll see. But we are working together with the store team and Teams platform team and of course, SharePoint organization. It's pretty complex, actually, to make it happen. So any store adjustments will have, for example, there's the App Source team, then there's the store team, then there's the store UX team, then there's the platform teams and all of that stuff. So it gets really, really complicated to do those things. Other than that, a lot of improvements again on the OneDrive SharePoint side. OneDrive SharePoint is one organization, so all of you get is getting bundled in this one summary as well. And then, of course, we're working closely with Microsoft Teams more and more closely day-to-day basis. Some September 2021 teasers, updated web player for video and audio files, and viewing transcripts for Microsoft Teams meeting recordings. That's actually really cool as well. So that's coming as a functionality. Now, let's move into the other articles. This is something which we wanted to call out. So we started our new weekly Microsoft 365 platform call. And last week, you were there actually talking about what?
Getting started with Microsoft Graph Toolkit.
Yes.
I can read.
yes, you can. But the basic idea of this community call is that we used to have 14 different calls every single month in a different time. So 7 a.m., 8 a.m., and 9 a.m. Pacific time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And what we're trying to do here is to consolidate. So we have a Microsoft 365 platform. So rather than having an isolated calls based on whatever product and service, we want to educate people on the possibilities as a whole in the platform. So in this one call, we always have three different demos in three different areas of Microsoft 365. And for example, the call number two, which is happening tomorrow when we're recording this, we'll have two Graph sessions and then SharePoint templates covered, which is pretty cool as well. So we're getting kind of a collection of different capabilities and explanation. Rather than having isolated calls throughout the month, it's super clear that there's a one call every single week on Tuesday at 8 a.m. in the Pacific time. So that's the idea on that. Now, moving on the other announcements. So we had a new public preview version for upcoming SharePoint Framework 1.13. So SharePoint Framework 1.13 is targeted for Viva Connections extensibility. So you're able to build in the desktop, which means the inside of the Microsoft Teams in the Teams view, or you can implement extensibility in the mobile, which is the adaptive card extension. The 1.13 is scheduled to go out later this month. Right now, subject to change, but it's pretty open to say that it is September 2021, so this month should be it. Now, it might be delayed, who knows, but hey, these things will happen. But as part of the update, we were doing a lot of adjustments and new things on the adaptive card side. Of course, the UX level changes, unfortunately, and the mobile experience is not yet shipped. So you can basically build the stuff, but you don't quite yet understand how it's being reflected in the UX whenever the functionalities are being enabled. So, but that's coming in all soon. There's also an actually pretty cool SP image helper package, which is basically you give a source a URL and the width, and it will then figure out the most optimal URL. So if the DNS is enabled and all of that, it's going to basically route through there. If it's enabled, if it's not enabled, it's going to route the URL in a different way. So that's going to help the developers a lot to optimize the experience. So,
is this now the recommended way to reference images in your application?
Yes. Yes.
And how does that, do you know, how does that work if the image is included in the application itself, right? So it's not stored in a list somewhere, but it's a part of the app. How would you, what would be the source URL then?
If it's included in the solution and the solution is in the app catalog, it should actually route that through the DNS if the DNS is enabled. CDN.
Right, but then you would use URL relative to file, right? Relative to the file of code, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Correct.
Okay. Cool.
Good. And then moving on here, Cameron Dwyer had a really cool blog post in the Microsoft 365 BMP blog related on simulating 429 throttling in the Microsoft Graph. So basically understanding how things are working and then what it means when we have too many requests and what's actually coming as an output. Because you as of when you're implementing your implementation, it's super important you can actually generate or make your solution to handle these things gracefully, so you don't actually crash and burn, yep, so to say. We had also Arun here add multiple users to SharePoint group using a single API call. So this one is kind of as interesting. So this is a REST API, which is actually underneath underscore API SP Web Share object. It's pretty important to realize that this is not officially documented by Microsoft. So that means that it's not officially supported. So it's once again these reminders that we certainly want people to use Microsoft Graph and documented APIs to make things happen, rather than in this case, it's basically reverse engineered from out of the box functionality. So.
Right, but in this case, it adds users to a SharePoint group which isn't exposed on Graph, right? Because on Graph you can use users, correct, or you can add users to AAD group, but not, yes, SharePoint group.
Correct. You know, 100% correct on that. So this is kind of a classic challenge where we have native APIs and then the Graph APIs are trying to follow up on as much as possible, but then they're slightly behind enabling all of the different scenarios. And of course, we want to expose this API in the Graph as soon as possible. Now, then we had here from Sutarsan, flexible and powerful locking using BMP locking in SPFX. So BMP.js is basically the package, and there's a BMP/locking, which you can use for easily do locking in your web port. You can decide how it's actually outputting things and what kind of messages and in the console it's writing and all of that stuff. So there's a really, really cool implementation there. BMP.js is led by Julie Turner and basically, well, used to led by Patrick Rogers, but now it's more driven by the MVPs and community, which is really cool as well. Good. We also had here create a report of assignment licenses to users from Microsoft 365 from Dimension. And I think this one was using CLI, wasn't it?
Let's see. I do not know. No, it's using Flow.
It's using Power Automate. Yes, absolutely. So basically getting the report of licenses and writing that then to the list. No, writing that to the file. Sorry, there we go. So, but really cool setup and showing again the no-code options for parsing JSON and all of that stuff, getting information from using the Flow. It gets pretty tricky, but again, low code maybe is the right term. Maybe
exactly, because like in there you have REST calls, you have auth, OAuth, yep, registering AAD app. So it's kind of it's pretty elaborate really quickly.
But the output here is basically that we're saying then, that Excel sheet, and then we'll see is it enabled or not, what's the principal name, assigned licenses, and all that. So that's actually pretty cool. So really, really cool reports, understanding where we are with the current tenant setup. Here we had a blog post from Sucharson as well. So browser local store using BMP client storage. So basically, how do we store information efficiently in the client store? And accessing that for a more performant behavior. So relatively simple thing. So that's basically store the user info and get user info. It's all being super simplified using also the BMP APIs, the BMP JS APIs. Good, few more. There's a new version of the CLI from last. That's Monday last week, isn't it? Yes. So 3.13. What's new on this one?
Released number of updates, new comments and improvements. I think one of the most noteworthy things are the ability to upgrade your SPFX projects to 1.13 preview. That's the beta 1.17, I think, the last one.
Yep.
And also
coming out, by the way, pretty soon.
Sorry?
There's a new version coming out on the beta as well. So.
Excellent. We will add it too. Yeah. And then another one was the ability to authenticate with CLI to Microsoft 365 using client ID and secret. And that is an interesting one, because even though the identity team at Microsoft says or recommends not to use it because you have to have secret, sometimes it is required, or some customers choose to use this approach, right? So if you do, think about it that ideally you want to switch to using, for example, certs, because that is also a thing. Like if you build an app only solution, imagine that you have a kind of unmonitored app that every day retrieves something from Microsoft 365. If you would use client ID and secret auth, you cannot connect as app only to SharePoint APIs, because these support only client ID and certificate.
Yeah.
Right. So there are quite some quirks. Now, still, some folks choose to use client ID and secret, but bear in mind that that isn't the recommended way. So we added it because we had some folks asking about it, but ideally, this is not the approach you want to use.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And a few other things as well. So additional commands.
New samples, exactly. And the most important thing is that now we're heading to releasing a V4, which is new major version. We will break few things, but just a few, and we'll have a proper overview of what these things are, what is the impact, and also a guidance allowing you to upgrade from V4 to V3.
Yeah. Why are you
breaking from
things?
V3 to V4. We're not upgrading you.
What's the reason for the breaking changes? What's the core reason?
So the reason for it, so the way we deal with that is that every year, once a year, we release a major version that we basically use to clean things up. Because as we add things, sometimes we lose track of how things are in sync across the board. So maybe we name things in a weird way, because like we have now 400 comments or so. So it's not always really simple for us to keep everything in sync. And then once a year, we basically take a broom, sweep the floor. And sometimes it means that, well, we need to rename an argument or rename a command. And that means that it breaks things. And that is why we say, you know what, we stick to SEMVER, semantic versioning, which says, if you break something or if you change something in a way that isn't backwards compatible, that requires a major bump, a major change. So that's exactly what we do, but we do it only once a year. So we don't force you. And still, the version 3 and all of them, like, there are still available and you will be able to use them, but we will be not updating them. So if there's a bug, it will not come into V3. It will be only available in V4.
So it's deprecated, supported, but not being maintained.
It's not supported. We're not so it is available for you to use.
Exactly. You can use it, but it's not being maintained. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Makes perfect sense. Cool. And it's good to have those clear rules. And that's one thing what we would love to have for all of the open source projects, which is basically this is the updating rules. These are the things. This is how we're supporting things and all that stuff, because that game brings more trust for sure.
And clarity.
For people who are using that.
You know
exactly
what you're up against. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, a few more articles. Carrie Trinter had a cool article, Get Verified, set up Git comment, signing on Windows. So basically, verifying yourself towards the GitHub. So that's really cool as well. So the steps, how to make those happen, how to identify yourself, who you are, and all of that stuff, which is pretty important as well. So really cool. And then we had an article from Marcus Miller from Avanade. He's from Avanade. Yes, he's from Avanade. Microsoft Toolkit in Teams application with Yo Teams and SSOs. So kind of a combination of Yo Teams and then the Craft Toolkit, and how do we do SSO together with all of that. So that's really cool. I think we have Marcus coming up to show some of the stuff in the upcoming community course as well as to make things happen. So really, really cool. So super useful stuff. AC had a nice article related on back to school, time to modernize the SPFX projects. And this is really around upgrading different packages and versions and all of that stuff. So we're looking into doing some of these adjustments natively within SPFX 1.13. There's going to be a default, new default projects and all of that stuff, which is really cool, completely modernizing things. AC is providing guidance, and Triconos is providing guidance how to do that already today with the older versions. There was a nice article also from Laura Rogers related on employee onboarding in Microsoft 365. Basically, all of our different products and services are providing templates for employee onboarding. So there's a Power App template for onboarding tasks, SharePoint site templates. So there's a site template from the natively within a product, then there's a slightly more complicated new employee departmental onboarding site and pre-onboarding site from the lookbook. And then there's a Microsoft Teams onboard employees template. So it's kind of interesting that we are providing such a variety, different set of products, different set of services on this. But again, onboarding is a big important area. So it's good to have options available. And you can choose which one do you actually want to use. So, and there's a video here as well, which is talking about the different options and that. And then Ilya had a really cool blog post related on demystify Microsoft Viva Connections and its extensibility model, except this blog post only focused on the mobile experience. So it didn't actually focus on the Viva Connection desktop, which actually is a really, really important thing to realize as well. And this picture is pretty cool to also explain this. This here on the back is the desktop experience, because it's basically Viva Connection desktop in your Microsoft Teams. So you can modify that. We kind of simplify the installation process of that in this autumn. And you can extend that any way you want. So you can add headers, you can add web bars and widgets and all of that stuff. Then if you are targeting mobile, then you can start building these mobile adaptive card extensions, which are basically adaptive card driven extensibility. And then when you click the button, you can do a UX or SPFX UX, which from there you can do a quick task and all of that. And then you can deep link directly to the actual application. But basic idea here is that you can build a company-specific mobile experience for the first-line workers and managers to easily access the top information what is needed. those same cards can be also then exposed in the desktop view here. So that's an important thing to realize.
And I guess that is exactly why everybody thinks that the adaptive card extensions, the ACEs, are the only way to extend it. But they kind of lose track of the fact that, well, you are on a page, SharePoint page, and on that page, you can also put a web part or an extension.
Yes. Any web part or any extension, top extension, placeholders are just there. All of that is still working behind the scenes. So there's a lot of opportunities for partners on building on top of this experience. So really, really cool. Cool. That's all the articles this time. So I'm going to stop the presentation. And what's going to happen this week? Anything interesting on your side, Walter?
This week, so we're continuing the work on CLI v4. That is one. Two, I think we will be presenting something very soon about Microsoft Graph on the Hello World show. So this is a show on the Learn TV, which is a weekly show, I think, where we discuss at Microsoft different technologies. And soon there will be an episode dedicated to Microsoft Graph. So I will be there too, together with Sebastian Ever. Another thing, we're looking into creating modules for Microsoft Learn around Viva Connections and how to extend.
I was just about to remind you on that.
That's be covering exactly the two sides we mentioned, the desktop, the mobile experience, and basically offering you a structured and end-to-end Learn experience, taking you from 0 to 60 or 100, depending where in the world you are, and explaining you what are the different options, what you can do, and how to start.
Yep.
Other than that, there are quite a few internal things as well. And I'm also thinking about submitting session or two for the Bene, not Lux, Bene collab day. So the Belgium-Netherlands collab days that are, I think, beginning of October.
Is it a remote event or is it?
So it is an interesting thing. So what I understood is that speakers will be together as a group in a hotel, but then the event will be available online to everybody, which is an interesting way to go about it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Well, it's probably going to be a fun event for the speakers then. So
maybe, I don't know.
Cool. On my side, obviously, the Viva Connections, finalizing that. There's a lot of samples, documentation, extensibility story on that one, getting that one in place, helping with a few community calls that's happening. Now we have two community calls happening every single week, so there's a lot of stuff doing there, making sure that everybody's showing up and everybody knows what's happening. 1.13 SPFX moving along. Something that's actually really cool about that one, maybe a teaser here. You hear it for here first time. We kind of introduce a completely new default web template when you're running the Yeoman generator, and the basic outputs out of it will be having section background support, Microsoft Teams theming support, all of that stuff natively shown in the template in the output. So that's kind of a completely modernized.
Will you also offer guidance how to bring the same abilities to, let's say, 1.12.1 or 1.10? Or so, in other words, web parts you already have to basically bring them up to par?
Yeah, so of course we can provide and planning to see if we can provide documentation on it. But the simplest way of doing that is just having a look on what's the output out of the Yeoman generator. That's the whole point of modernizing the whole thing. So it will be the same output will be then adapting directly in SharePoint. It is also adapting Teams. It is also adapting themes crossing both sides. So you can actually use the same thing. And it's kind of a showing the best practices of doing that. So it's about time. It's been now, 6 years since the introduction of the output, the default output. And also something we're looking into doing is the extensibility. Sorry, the visual studio code extension for SPFX. So trying to figure out how can we streamline the experience there, because the VS Code extensions are clearly getting more and more popular, and having some of the commands, for example, what we have in Yeoman generator or in Gulp, easily available for users in the VS Code probably helps. So, by the way, good to get feedback on that as well. So
absolutely, and I guess the idea there is not to force people to use it, but basically simplify things. If you don't want to use it, or you don't use VS Code, you use something else. Exactly. You don't miss anything in our work, right? You can still do everything. You're not being forced to using this tool. It's just
experience. I think that's the right mentality of all of the tooling and all of the things what we provide as a Microsoft. Don't force people to a certain mold. Give them options and they can choose. Well, do they want to be in a command line? All good. Do they want to be in a VS Code extension? All good. But it's your call. We are not dictating anything. So.
Excellent.
But let's see what comes out of that. But anyway, thanks for watching. This is season 4, episode 1. So episode 133, which is pretty wild again. So, and we'll be back with the new episode within a week. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.